Summer's hotter weather is finally here, but don't let hair loss also make you sweat. Regrow hair with help from Hims. They provide access to personalized treatment so you can see thicker, fuller hair in just 3 to 6 months. Get started from the comfort of home. Fill out an intake form and a medical provider will determine if treatment is right for you. If prescribed, your treatment is sent directly to you for free. Start your free online visit today at hims.com/Hail Mary. That's hims.com/Hail Mary for personalized hair loss treatment options. hims.com/Hail Mary. Individual results may vary. Based on studies of topical and oral minoxidil and finasteride. Prescription required. See website for full details, restrictions, and important safety information.
Hey, football fans, Drew Brees here. Kroger Play and Owner's Box have teamed up for the next generation of daily fantasy sports. First-time players can get $25 in free entries, plus 250 fuel points. And you can score all season long with 2 times the fuel points for every dollar spent to use at Kroger Fuel Centers. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER.
Void where prohibited. Eligibility restrictions apply. 18-plus in most eligible states, but age varies by jurisdiction. Offer is valid between 8-6-25 and 1-5-26. Terms apply. See full terms and conditions at ownersbox.com/footballfuelpointsTC.
This is the Adam Carriker Show.
Position right of the quarterback, out of the shotgun, first and 20. Jailbreak screen in the air. It is hit. It is intercepted by Carriker at the Missouri 21-yard line.
Live from the heart of Lincoln, America, 8-year NFL vet and All-American defensive lineman Adam Carriker.
Shotgun snap to Everett. He's got the left arm going, and now he's got a whole lot of Adam Carriker who rips him down inside the 25-yard line.
A 93.7 The Ticket and theticketfm.com. Here is your host, Adam Carriker.
Welcome in, ladies and gentlemen, to the Adam Carriker Show here on 93.7 The Ticket. So, I can't hear myself because I don't have the headphones on yet. Ah, that was almost better. It's almost better when I can't hear myself. I wonder if people feel like it's better if they can't hear me too, Jake.
I don't think so.
You know, I appreciate the kind words. All right. I've had some producers and co-hosts in the past. They would have taken that opportunity to take shots, but not Jake. Jake is a great guy. He's a good human being and a phenomenal producer. All right, Jake, you got any big plans for the weekend?
I can't say too big of plans. My family's finally back from the Philippines too, so I'm excited to hang out with them a little bit more.
Okay. Going to kind of have a chill weekend a little bit.
Yeah, that's the plan. Well, as chill as it can be with the weather outside, I guess.
It is definitely heating up, man. It is definitely heating up. Are you one of those guys? Because I talked about how I like variances in weather. I like cold weather. I like hot weather. It's a terrible pun. I don't like the wind. The wind literally blows. Okay. I'm not a fan of humidity either, if I'm being honest with you. Like, I grew up in a place. I don't know if I've talked about this on the show. It's been a while if I have. But in Washington, okay, born in Hastings, moved up to state of Washington when I was 3. That's where I grew up. So most people think of the state of Washington, like just think of it as a square, but they think of it as just like rain and water and trees everywhere. That's about 75% of the state. The Rocky Mountains, it's probably more like about 50, 60% of the state. The Rocky Mountains divide the state in half. So on the west side, you got Seattle, you got Puget Sound, you got rain, you got all that stuff, okay? It's beautiful, it's gorgeous, Husky Stadium, looking out on the Sound when it's not raining, absolutely gorgeous. The other half of the state, that's where I lived. For whatever reason, the rain clouds don't really make it over the Rocky Mountains. And so I actually grew up in a desert. Have I told you this before?
Yeah, a little bit, but I'm like many of those other people that the way that you describe what people think of Washington is, that's what I think of.
Well, that's where the majority of the population is over in Seattle and Tacoma, and that's where the capital is, and Olympia, and that's where University of Washington is on the west side. Okay, it's really a desert. Like, I've legit had tumbleweeds coming across the road. There's like not a ton of cactus, but some cactus. There's places to go four-wheeling. Like gigantic sand dunes. So if you think kind of the opposite of what mountains and trees and everything typically kind of look like, although a lot of people like to go four-wheeling up in the mountains on those trails. No. There's no mountains. There's no trails. It's pure sand dunes. And it would be like, I don't know, triple digits all the time. 110, 115. I mean, 115 wasn't common, but somewhere between 95 to 105 was fairly common. 110 wasn't shocking. Above there, we're getting pretty hot, but I've seen those days. There's no humidity. No humidity. Like bone dry. It'd be like 105.05% humidity. Mm. So humidity is the other thing that gets me, man. Coming back to eastern Nebraska, Lincoln, dude, it's green, it's beautiful, it's gorgeous. And the other thing, it's humid. Now, it's not as humid as some other places. All right, you go down to like Florida and LSU. I said LSU because I, you know, talking
nice
university terms. Louisiana, like that is humidity. Legit swamps freaking everywhere. But dude, I love changes in weather. I love it when it's really cold. And then I get ready for it to be spring. And then I get ready for it to be hot. And then I love it when it goes to fall. I love changes in weather. It's one of the things I love about Nebraska. Would you rather just have like a consistent, like San Diego, California, consistent 72 degrees? Just beautiful. I don't know if it's beautiful all the time, but like 72 degrees, not a whole lot of variance. It might get up to 82. It might get down to 62. Or would you rather have variances in weather, like which is what I prefer?
I don't mind the variances in weather. I just don't really love. I mean, my favorites are spring and fall. So I do kind of like somewhere in the middle between winter and the extreme conditions. And then it's just, you know, what happens with extreme conditions. You can start having problems with, you know, your car or whatever it might be, winter. Or so, you know, that sort of thing does start to bug me. So yeah, I mean, I'd say I might like San Diego, but the one thing is that it blew my mind as a kid to think of Christmas without snow. Like it didn't even register with me until I found out that there were some areas that don't have any snow on Christmas. Like, well, how do they really even get in the spirit then?
So I swear to God, I'm not making this story up. So where I grew up, if you can imagine, there wasn't a ton of snow. Now we would get snow, but not a ton. There was one year, and I remember this so well because we had zero snow all the way up until the week of Christmas. And I'm like, man, are we going to have a white Christmas this year? And sometimes we would, sometimes we wouldn't. Either way, it wasn't uncommon. It legit snowed Christmas Eve. It was there all day Christmas, and then it was gone. And that was the only time it snowed the entire year.
Perfect. That's like, how I'd write it up.
I couldn't believe it. I couldn't believe it. But the years that we didn't have snow, it's a little funky, but if you're used to a certain climate and you have certain expectations, you kind of just get used to that as well. Like if you live in Florida, it's not like Christmas doesn't happen. You know, Christmas still happens. You just get used to a Florida style Christmas, if you will. And then I guess you can watch your snow with Home Alone or some of the other Christmas movies that are out there. And that's how you get your snow fixed. But all right, ladies and gentlemen, we have you guessed it, loaded show once again. I have two special guests that'll be joining us in studio. Two of the most unpredictable guests, I can say this with 100% certainty, two of the most unpredictable guests I've ever had on the show, and certainly in studio. They are my twin daughters, Dakota and Desiree. I was coaching their basketball team this morning, and we're all over the place with different sports. I've got daughters in regionals and track. I've got a daughter in Kansas City, regionals and soccer, trying to make nationals. And so anyways, I'm like, hey, Dakota, Desi, you're going to come with me straight to the ticket. They're like, awesome. We get to see where dad works. And then I'm like, hey, you want to come on air with me? They're like, heck yeah. So full disclosure, don't know what we're going to talk about. I have some ideas. Don't know what they're going to say. Don't know how it's going to go. But the start of the next segment, my twin daughters, who are 9, are going to join us, Dakota and Desiree. What are your thoughts on this? You got some questions ready? What are your thoughts on this?
Yeah, I'm excited. I already got some questions for you because I was talking with Rashawn the other day. He's a twin. And it just blows my mind again to kind of think of as a parent having twins because, you know, you're kind of preparing mentally for one and then you get the news that it's going to be two and there's two babies up at night crying at different times. So all that stuff, I have to ask you, how difficult was twins compared to just one kid at a time?
They're out there listening. They are staring at me right now. Desi just waved at me. There's a little bit of a delay between here and what plays out there. So maybe someone can edit it if we don't like what I'm saying. No, I'm just kidding. We had three kids and we'd always said 2 to 4 was what we were thinking. So we had three. We're down at Pensacola at the Andrews Institute. I'm rehabbing the knee and my wife goes, I want another kid. I'm like, all right, cool. Let's go for the fourth kid. So I get cleared and so when she said that to me, it was summer. Like it was like July, August or whatever, find out she's pregnant. And I'll never forget, it was a snowy day. Straight up like 0 degree snowy day in Colorado in January. It was after Christmas that next year. We go into the doctor's office. And I remember I was kind of like, it's one of those days where you're not firing on all cylinders. I forget if I didn't sleep well. I forget if there was stuff going on. I don't remember. But I remember kind of thinking, okay, let's go to this doctor's visit. We'll check out the heartbeat. That's always cool and whatever, and the ultrasound, and then we'll go home. And But I was kind of like, you know, not firing on all cylinders. So we're sitting there, and the lady doing the ultrasound, she goes, "Do you want to know the sex of the baby?" And we only found out one time. Other than that, we like to be surprised. And then my wife got a funny look on her face because she saw it. Again, I'm kind of not paying attention, all right, because I'm kind of out of it. And I get excited about every kid that we have, obviously. But, you know, we've done this before, so I'm not really paying attention to what's on the screen. I'm actually kind of listening to the heartbeat, and I'm kind of debating if I want to know the sex of the child at this point as well. And out of nowhere, the nurse technician goes, "It's twins." And I was like, "What?" Yeah, they're out there listening to me. That's awesome. I'm just like, whoa, I was not ready for that. And I just remember like being in a daze after that. I was like, all right, four turned into five. Now it's twins. And I was like, oh my goodness, I was not ready for this in any way, shape, or form. I just remember walking out of there, like legit, just kind of like foggy mentally, kind of like not ready for that news. And I was like, oh my goodness, what's going on? You know, I'm still barely just been cleared off my knee. So that's kind of in the forefront. I'm trying to get back in the league. I don't know. It was kind of, it's news. It's like, it's exciting news. It's awesome news. It's unique news. It's a great experience. Having twins is a blessing. In the moment, it's a lot.
Yeah.
It's a lot in the moment. So having twins, it's unique. It's special. Like they have a unique bond. They have a special bond. They've always done things together. Now they've got very different interests. Okay. Very different interests. You know, Dakota, she'll kind of walk out of the room with her football jersey on, a hat on backwards, and like sports gloves on, whether it's baseball or football or whatever. As I mentioned yesterday, she plays baseball in a 9U boys team. Dakota, she's kind of, I'm sorry, Desi, she's a little bit more the princess, if you will, walks out with like a dress and a crown and, you know, high heels and whatnot. So they have very different personalities, but the unique bond is very cool. I remember when they were born, they're one of the few kids decided not to come at 2 a.m. Every single one of our freaking kids would come at like 2 a.m, 5 a.m, midnight was like actually a blessing at that point, 3 a.m. They came at 3 p.m. And so Dakota was born at 3:03, Desi was born at 3:09. So Dakota forevermore will lord those 6 minutes over Desi's head that she's older. I remember the room though, where the birth was taking place. There was a lot of people in it. Like there was like 20 people in it. And then they kind of broke it off into two sections after they were born. Like all these people started checking on Dakota. They were premature. All of our kids were a month premature for whatever reason. Don't worry. Once they're here, they grow into behemoth children. Like they're all 95th percentile and higher. But for whatever reason, my wife's body would always push them out like a month early. 6 for 6 on that, but they were all healthy, good to go. But when they are premature, people are a little bit more cautious, careful. When you've got twins, a little bit more cautious, careful. So it was a little bit more chaotic. After that, I'll be honest, my wife was a rock star. Like she did the natural breastfeeding route with all of our kids. And so doing that with twins is literally twice as challenging. Getting up in the middle of the night is literally twice as challenging. And she kind of took that bull by the horns, so to speak. And every time we ever had a kid, I would just kind of look at her. It's like she legit went into super mom mode. When it was the twins, it was like another level of super mom mode. And I don't think I've ever looked at her the same since, because the way she just embraced that, the amount of lack of sleep that she operated on and just kept rolling was so impressive to me month over month over month. But no, as they get older, it's fun. It's fun to watch their unique bond. It's fun to watch the things they like doing together. It's fun to watch their differences and the things that, you know, make them independent and unique kids in their own right. So it's kind of fun to watch all of those things.
Yeah, I was going to say, but the news for you might have been something kind of awestruck. But for Angie, I was like, oh my goodness, there's two of them in me. Now, you know, twice the work and all that.
Summer's hotter weather is finally here, but don't let hair loss also make you sweat. Regrow hair with help from Hims. They provide access to personalized treatment so you can see thicker, fuller hair in just 3 to 6 months. Get started from the comfort of home. Fill out an intake form and a medical provider will determine if treatment is right for you. If prescribed, your treatment is sent directly to you for free. Start your free online visit today at hims.com/Hail Mary. That's hims.com/Hail Mary for personalized hair loss treatment options. hims.com/Hail Mary.
individual results may vary. Based on studies of topical and oral minoxidil and finasteride. Prescription required. See website for full details, restrictions, and important safety information.
So we walked out of there. They're not listening anymore. That's okay. I was like stunned. Like I never anticipated in my life. First of all, we ended up having Jordan. So one more. I never anticipated having six kids. I never anticipated having five girls, and I never anticipated having twins. I never anticipated any of this. Okay. God's plan is his plan, and it is separate from ours. And that's something I can trust. I don't have to understand it. Sometimes I just have to understand that I don't understand. And that's all that has to be understood. And that will give me peace of mind right there. Sometimes she said she saw it right away. Cause she we're on the drive home and I'm not like saying anything that day after the ultrasound, we found out. I'm just like legit stunned. Again, I was foggy in the head to begin with, whatever was going on. And then that stunned me. And she looks at me, she goes, "Are you okay?" And I was like, "Yeah, I guess, you know, I don't know." And she seemed perfectly fine. And I'm like, "Are you like overcompensating? Are you okay? Or are you like overcompensating here?" She's like, "No, I saw it immediately." She's like, "I could see too independent." Like, she's like, I saw it immediately. And so she handled it great. Honestly, from the moment we found out, she was pretty much turned into super mom mode on another level, which I hadn't seen up to that point, which was crazy with our three kids we'd already had.
Yeah. And it is crazy. And hats off to all the moms out there. We just had Father's Day. Hats off to all the fathers too. But you're right. Mothering is a completely different deal. And it's like, I never had twins, obviously, but just even the one kid, it's like, man, you really do gain a different perspective of how much you should love your own mom for what you probably put her through, too.
Oh, for sure. There's no doubt. So they're going to join us in the next segment. We'll have some fun there. You got any other questions for a twin dad before we bring on the actual twins and the unpredictability of whatever that brings?
No, I'll try to think of some more. Like yesterday, once we started going to it, I just started off naming like the Morris twins, the different twins from sports, but I'll try to think of some other ones.
All right, ladies and gentlemen, as you know, this is the Adam Carriker Show, unique insight and bridled honesty. Producer Jake and I are going to have a whole lot of fun in the process. What you can hear, Husker sports, college football, sports in general. It is indeed a loaded show. Let me run down my quick list of topics here. All right, we're going to talk about Nebraska's 2026 recruiting class up to this point. Part of this is, you know, who they're choosing to target, who they're not targeting, which we've discussed in the past. At the end of the day, you got to do what you believe is best. Have they really targeted anybody in Nebraska at this point for 2026? Jake?
They've got one commit, and I believe they've got one that they're like, okay, at least in the top favored to get.
That's what I thought. Yeah. Okay. I do believe, and I'll have to check my notes. I've got them written down here as we dive into it. I'll look back at that and be more specific. But I do believe, what is there, 14 Division I players that are consider power four prospects or something right now within the state of Nebraska. So there is talent within the state of Nebraska. I do think there's a separation within the power four between Big Ten and SEC talent and Big 12 and ACC talent. And I think that's where Matt Rhule in his mind is separating the two. And he is specifically, I don't know how else to put it, he's just being a little bit more picky. Like, it's Big Ten, SEC talent. And if you haven't been offered, we'd love to have you come to our camp and evaluate you and get to know you. And maybe it'll work out at that point. I think that's been his approach up to this point. We're going to talk about walk-ons. How's he going to approach walk-ons? So there's going to be some grandfathering in, but at some point there is going to be a 105 roster limit. Am I not correct in that, Jake?
Yeah, that's right.
So what is Matt Rhule's approach going to be? We are going to have a game seven. I called it, Jake, in the NBA Finals. I told you yesterday.
You're not wrong. I was doubting it. I thought this thing was over.
I'm not going to lie. I didn't believe it whatsoever. I just wanted it. There wasn't like, I definitely over 50% of me thought that the Thunder was going to win. I went with the Pacers, clearly, just purely because I wanted a game seven. Either way, I was right.
That's will it matters. To existence, that's right.
That's all that matters, is I was right. Technicalities be damned, ladies and gentlemen. All right, let's see what else we got here. Jordan Westerkamp will join us today at 12:30. We had him planned for yesterday. We got a little bit behind on the show. When you bring on a guy like that, you don't want to short the interview, so he's going to come on today, and we will do a full in-depth interview with Husker legend Jordan Westerkamp. All right, and the ticket will be on live on site at the Carriker Chronicles football camp July 9th. So we're going to start talking about that a little bit more. DP is going to be doing one-on-one with DP. You got the drives going to be there. All right, and also All-American quarterback, former All-American Nebraska quarterback Steve Taylor will be dropping that knowledge as well. That'll be on July 9th. We'll discuss that a little bit more throughout the show. right, before we bring the Twins on, go to break. What were your thoughts on game six last night for the NBA Finals, Jake?
Well, it was like many of these games, some of them kind of get out of hand. So this wasn't one that was you had to stay up for and see who was going to win. The Pacers had control of it. But it was just kind of interesting. And it was kind of, obviously, all eyes were on Halliburton to see how he would do. Obviously, not at 100%, but he's going to go out there and play. So in the regular season, definitely wouldn't have played in this game. And missed his first four shots. So you kind of start to think, yeah, this is going to affect him. Someone's going to need to step up. And they certainly did have, you know, T.J. McConnell's been stepping up this whole time. Obi Toppin led the team in scoring last night. But Halliburton was able to kind of get into his zone again and push the pace and get the Pacers that lead. And the Thunder just didn't match. There were certain guys that didn't. You know, I think Chet Holmgren had like 4 points. So, I mean, there's certain guys in a closeout situation you would have liked to have seen a little bit more out of. And again, because of the blowout nature, nobody was really getting to the point where you're scoring 30 or anything like that. So I think SGA finished like 21, but ultimately this was just a very cool story to see the Pacers overcome a giant obstacle. Now they did have home court. Everybody there was pushing obviously to get to game 7-2. So it's going to change a little bit. Now you got to go to enemy territory for game 7, but it just to get this to game 7 is quite an accomplishment from the Pacers. Remember, there were a lot of people predicting a sweep at the beginning of the series.
This is the first, and I thought I had it written down here. I do not. This is the first NBA Finals Game 7. It's either since 2017 or 2016.
Yeah, 2016.
That's okay. Yeah, and it was LeBron's Cavs versus Warriors. Okay.
Yep. Kyrie Irving, big shot.
Yeah, that was a 3-1 comeback, 3-1 series comeback. Okay. Like, a couple of things. Number one, this is the NBA Finals series that the NBA needed. Was there big names per se? I mean, Halliburton, the MVP. I mean, some of these guys, they're not like household names, like LeBron James, household name, Steph Curry, household name. They're not Caitlin Clark, household name. Like, there's not necessarily household names. But that's part of why the NBA needed this series. They need new stars. They need new teams to emerge instead of the same old Warriors and what team is LeBron on? Okay, it's the Cavs, the Heat, the Lakers. Like, it gets old after a while. And those guys are great. They're all-time greats. I'm not saying they're not. From an entertainment perspective, from a fan engagement, from an interest perspective, you need new stars. You need new teams. You need new things. You need things to emerge that haven't been there before, especially when the interest is dwindling and waning. So for me, this has been a highly intense. I've talked about intensity. I've talked about competitive nature of the NBA has not been what it's been. That turns people away. These are the best of the best on planet Earth when it comes to basketball. I've never disputed that. I've never tried to insult them from a basketball level, on a personal level. When I have said I have a hard time with the NBA, it's from an interest and an entertainment level, which is what's going to get fans interested or make them disinterested. And that comes down, to the intensity level. It comes down to stars. It comes down to close games. It comes down to things that this series has brought and new people and new faces emerging. All right, for me, you're going to crown a first-time NBA Finals champion at the end of this Game 7, either Oklahoma City or Indiana Pacers. For me, there's stars emerging. There's great games. Game 6 wasn't great, but you needed to get to a Game 7. And Game 7 hasn't happened in almost a decade in the NBA Finals. The NBA needed this as well. So I'm excited. I want the NBA to be more interesting. I want it to be more entertaining. I want to be engaged, but I also need the reason for it to happen. I can't just want it. I willed Game 7 into existence, but I can't will my interest in something into existence. I have to be given a legit reason, and there's been a legit reason starting with this NBA Finals. Now, looking at last, I mean, if you're Oklahoma City, do you have reason to be concerned? Because at halftime, you have a 22-point lead. I'm sorry, the Pacers had a 22-point lead at halftime, a 30-point lead going into the fourth quarter. So you got boat race the first three quarters. The final score is 108-91. The Thunder outscored the Pacers by, 13 in the fourth quarter to make it almost respectable. But if I'm a Thunder fan, I'm like, man, do we have the closeout gene? Do we have the clutch gene? Because not only did we not get it done, we didn't even come close to showing up and getting it done. If I'm a Pacers fan, I'm like, oh my, I might take the Pacers in Game 7 right now. And I don't even know what Halliburton's status is. I'm sure he's going to play, but what percentage is he? After watching this, I'm looking at a Pacers team that is like physical. They're tough. They've got resiliency. I'm looking at a Thunder team that I consider to be a better skilled basketball team, probably the better team. But there's all these little intangibles, and it's not just football. It exists in every sport. And I'm half tempted. I don't have to make a pick today. I'm half tempted to take the Pacers because I'm looking at the Thunder and I'm like, man, you didn't even make it competitive. Like, if I'm a Thunders fan, before we go to break here, Jake, should I be concerned that maybe we lack the ability to close a game out because the Pacers do not lack the ability to punch you in the mouth?
Yeah, I mean, it certainly it was not the most inspiring basketball if you're a Thunder fan from last night. So, yeah, I mean, I think you have that concern. At the same time, you know, it's 3-3. These games, some of them have been blowouts the other way. And that's what I really hope for game seven, right, is ultimately we get a close game. Because of the nature of the NBA these days, sometimes we kind of get into these blowout territories. But maybe a little concerned, but again, you got a home court advantage for the most part. They're the only team to win twice in this series, you know, and they're just tough to beat twice in a row, I think, throughout the regular season. I don't know if it's happened. So, there's reasons for concern, but there's reasons to feel pretty confident.
If you had to make a pick right now, we don't have to just yet. When is game seven? Is it
Sunday night?
Sunday. Yeah. It's always on a Sunday. I've noticed that. Okay. If you had to pick right now, who would you take?
I would still go with the Thunder. I think the Pacers are a better story, but I think the Thunder are ultimately the better team. But we'll see. It's all down to one game now.
Man, like 51% of me leans Pacers right now. I've got, what, two whole days and change to change my mind? Of course, this is our last show. We actually should make our final picks.
That's right, actually.
All right, yeah. We got to make our final picks. Who is your official pick? I wasn't ready for this, but we're going to do it. Here we go. Who's your official pick to win game seven?
Well, like I said, I'll probably roll with the Thunder at home here.
Dude, I'm going Pacers. I'm going with the team that's going to punch you in the mouth. I'm going Pacers.
Fair enough.
You have it, ladies and gentlemen.
Now we're on opposite ends.
I believe they're going to win game seven way more than I believe they were going to win game six. I'll put that out there, yeah. Even though I took them in game six. All right, ladies and gentlemen, don't go anywhere. When we come back, the unpredictable 9-year-old character twins will be live on air.
Imagine a school day built around your child's needs and interests. It's possible with K-12. K-12 powered schools are accredited, tuition-free, online public schools for students in kindergarten through 12th grade. Students learn from state-certified teachers trained to teach online. And with the flexibility to learn wherever there's internet, it can fit into any family schedule. Join the more than 3 million families who've chosen K-12. You can make the switch at any time. Go to k12.com/podcast today to learn more.